Hey, well, it's so good to be together this morning. I'm going to be preaching a message called Don't Go Back. And for everyone on the lawn this morning, just as this rain starts to come down, don't go back to the auditorium. That's not an option. Don't go back. You're here on the lawn, all right? You're here on the lawn. Hey, we're in a series in Galatians called Jesus Plus Nothing. And what we're really kind of exploring the question, are we truly saved by the work of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, or is there something really that's more necessary on our part? And so often we get fooled into thinking that there's something more necessary. We've got to earn it. We've got to work for it. But what we see right throughout Scripture and what Paul says, it writes to the church in Galatia, is that Jesus has done everything on the cross. Everything necessary for salvation. It's a free gift. You just have to accept that there is nothing more necessary on our part. And so we're just opening the book of Galatians and we're exploring this a little bit more to encourage us, but also that the Holy Spirit would challenge us and bring conviction so that we can draw nearer and become more like Christ. Who's grateful for the work of Jesus on the cross? I certainly am. And so this morning, I get to open up Galatians chapter 4. That's the chapter we're up to in Galatians. And I want to focus on about four verses, verses 8 to 12, found sort of near the middle of the chapter. I'm going to read it for you. It should be on the screen for you as well. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Do you get this kind of vibe, how much Paul loves the people in Galatia? And he's writing to them because he's invested in them and he loves them and he wants what's best for them in Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, he writes, to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. That's our passage for today. I want to take you back to January 4, 2017. I was still living in New Zealand at the time. And we were about to go on what really was an annual pilgrimage for us and about four other families as we would go camping for about 9 days in January. And we would leave Auckland and head 4 hours north to Northland in New Zealand to a little place called, I've forgotten the name of the bay, but this beautiful little bay. It was an awesome spot, and I'm just becoming too Australian. I've forgotten the New Zealand names, and it was just an awesome time. And so we're packed to the gunwales. The car is full. We've got two boys at the time. Malachi was 5, Cooper's 3. Steph's heavily pregnant with Myla, and we've got a trailer that's loaded up as well. We've got 2 fishing kayaks on the back of on the top of the trailer. We're loaded up, and we're so pumped to be going away on holiday. We missed the storm. The storm had finished January 3rd, and there was predicted good weather for the next 9 days. Well, we arrive at our friend's house, we start the convoy, and we're going on the motorway, basically the equivalent of the freeway in Auckland, and we're just about to leave the outskirts of the city and hit the highway. And we hit holiday traffic like you can only imagine. And there's 2 lanes, just an absolute standstill. And who hates traffic? I hate traffic. I'd prefer to keep driving some other way than sit in traffic in a known direction. And so we jump on Google Maps and we're looking. We can only see red for the next however many kilometers it's going to be. And so, but Google Maps isn't telling us any other route. And so I open an app that I'm not associated with, and this isn't an advertisement for it, but Waze, W-A-Z-E. And it was able to pull up a different route that wasn't showing on Google Maps. And so I jump online, and we're exploring this, and there is the turn off to this route just 1 kilometer on the other side of the tunnel that we need to get through. We think this is a brilliant idea. Well, I think it's a brilliant idea. And so we get there, and no other cars are going down this route. And that must be because they haven't got this app called Waze. And so we turn off, and I'd called the convoy, our friends. One family was going to follow us. The other 2, they just preferred to stay on the highway in the traffic. And so we turn off. We start going down this road, and it looks promising. promising. And so we're going down, it's a tar seal road, but we're getting more rural. Our cell phone reception starting to dip, you know, gone from 4 down to 3. It's getting down to 2. So we screenshot the route on the map on the screen just in case we lose reception, which we do 5 minutes later. And then we hit a gravel road. And in New Zealand, you've got these gravel roads and they're corrugated. And basically you can't go, I mean, 20 kilometers an hour is almost too fast on these roads. And you're as you go along these roads. Do you want me to do that again? And so we're driving down this road. The kayaks on the trailer, it's bumpy, it's dusty. We've got no cell phone reception. And it's getting windier and it's getting narrower. And my wife looks at me with just this stare like, we should turn back. We should turn back. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to be too prideful, but I don't want to be wrong here either. We're going ahead. My five-year-old son in the car, he's picking up on the mood of his mum, and he's starting to go, Dad, do we need to turn around? Like, this isn't the route we were expecting. And we persevere, and the temptation to turn back strong, but I want to keep going. And we keep going, and 10 minutes later, there's a clearing. We hit the tar seal road again, and before long, we're back on another highway where we can travel and meet up with our friends. What's funny is they met us there. They got there about 10 minutes before we did, but we had an adventure. But who knows, sometimes when life gets hard, maybe, you know, the road in life feels narrow, it feels bumpy, it feels a little windy, maybe it feels like you're going really, really slow, that the temptation to turn around and go back to something you used to do, to go back to something that's normal, to go back to something that's a little bit familiar is so tempting. To turn around and go back to where you came from. Here's the rain. And we're going to keep preaching. Can you still see me, Ted? I've got no rain here. This is good. And you know, maybe you've got a promotion at work. Don't go back to the auditorium, okay? You can't go back. This is new. I've never preached in the rain before, all right? Have some grace for me. And so maybe you've got a promotion at work. And you've stepped up, but with that promotion's come so much more responsibility. And you're facing some challenges in that role right now. And you maybe are thinking about going back to what you used to do, taking the lower position and letting someone else deal with the challenges and the responsibility. I'm all right here, guys. Seriously, I'm okay. I'm fine standing here. And the challenges of responsibility you want to leave to somebody else. Maybe you're a student and God laid on your heart to pursue a particular avenue and you're doing this degree and this qualification. And the study's hard and you're struggling and you feel like it'd be easier just to turn around and go back to what you used to do, working full time and giving up on that dream or whatever God's put in your heart to pursue. Maybe you're just tired of adulting. Life just gets hard adulting and the demands on your time and raising family and trying to navigate finances and life and just managing a household. And you start to think, you know what, it would just be so much easier to go back to being on my own. Life was easy. Life was good back then when I had more time to myself. How about when living the Christian life just gets a little bit difficult and you feel like you don't deserve grace and it's hard just not growing with the crowd like you used to and giving into those, you know, those desires of the flesh, those things that feel good, but you know that they're not actually good for you, but they felt good. So you want to go back to that and you've got memorable moments of that time in your life. And you want to just quit walking with Jesus and go back to what you used to do. You know, sometimes when life gets difficult, when it gets hard, when it gets uncertain, when it feels like it requires more effort, more energy than we're required to give to keep moving forward, the temptation to turn back can be so strong. But who knows that turning back is not the way forwards. Turning back is not the way forwards. And so often we're tempted to turn back to something that's comfortable. You know, that time in life when you had all this comfort, it was easy. They're good times in life, aren't they? You don't have this kind of, this chaos, this stretch, and life is just comfortable. We like comfort. Maybe when life's just that little bit more familiar, we're tempted to go back to time when life was familiar. You knew what you were doing. You'd been in that zone for a little while, and it was familiar to you, and there was an ease associated with that familiarity. Or perhaps it was a memorable time. Sure, there were hard times, but as you look back, it was just a memorable time, and it was certainly preferential to maybe what you're experiencing right now. And so when life is hard and when the temptation is so strong to go back, to quit what you're doing, to quit going forward into whatever God has for you, but you want to turn around and go back to what's comfortable, what's familiar, what's memorable, here's the thing that you need to know. Here's the thing you need to remember. Turning back isn't the way forward. And if you're hanging in that balance today, if you're hanging in that space, I'm here to tell you, don't go back. Don't go back. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't go back. You know, the Galatians, they were in a position just like that. They're starting to go back to their old ways of living, what the Apostle Paul describes as worthless and wasteless practices of worship. The Apostle Paul, if you don't know who he is, he was a Pharisee. He was super obedient to the law, and he was a persecutor of Christians. He hated Christians, but he was super obedient to the law. And so he would persecute Christians. And he's on a road one day, on the road to Damascus, going to persecute some Christians. And he has this incredible encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Completely changed his life. And he chose to go forward into everything that Christ had for him, even though it was difficult, even though it was hard. And he went on three really significant missionary journeys. And the first one, he went to this town called Galatia, this region called Galatia. And there, it was about AD 47, 48. And as he goes there, he preaches and he ministers to the people of Galatia. And he sees many give their lives to Jesus. He sees Jews, as he does ministry through the synagogues, turn from the law and turn, which was their way of trying to really earn salvation, but turn to the grace of Jesus Christ as they put their trust in him. But as it was such a paganistic area, they are the Gentiles, those are non-Jews, they would worship idols and pagan worship practices, rituals, sacrifices, and these regulations, kind of similar to the law, but just worshiping idols. And they'd been set free from these things. They'd been set free from the fear of slavery to these things and offending the gods as they'd put their trust in Jesus. Paul saw God do amazing things. But 2 years later, here's what's happened, is that some Judaizers have shown up and they have started to preach to these Christians, these Jewish Christians, these Gentile Christians, that you have to keep the law to be made right with God. They're really trying to say it's not Jesus plus nothing, it's Jesus plus the law, that you have to obey the law in order to be made right with God. But even though they'd already encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ and experienced his grace, they're hanging in the balance and the danger of turning back to following the law. But we know that we're made right with Christ by what he did on the cross. Jesus plus nothing. And so Paul's writing this letter to them. And he's trying to convince them, he's trying to remind them of the freedom that they have found in Christ. And he's saying, don't go back. Don't go back to your old way of living. Don't go back to what you used to know. You were slaves to that style of worship. You were slaves to the law. You were slaves to those paganistic regulations. But you found freedom in Christ. Don't go back. Because turning back isn't the way forwards in their relationship with God. It wasn't the way forwards in whatever Christ had in store for them. You know, I've really had this laid on my heart this last week for several reasons. You know, there's always a temptation to turn back. Who's experienced the temptation to turn back? Go on, let's be real. We all experience the temptation to turn back. But you know, I believe right now, more than ever, that temptation, that danger of turning back is just so rife right now. There's people who want to, you know, as we start to go back to a normality in life, there's this sense that people just want to go back to the way that life was. And I'm as excited about, you know, a sense of normality again as much as the next person. But can I tell you what? God's done some stuff in my life this last 2 years that I don't want to forget, that I don't want to turn away from. He's done some stuff in my family's life that's significant. He's blessed us in amazing ways, and to wind back just 2 years and go back to normality would see us going backwards, not forwards, into what God has for us and what he's done in our lives. I want to go forward into what he has for my future, but I want to take what he's done these last 2 years as well. I don't want to forget that, and I don't want you to either. Going forward isn't the way back. I'm talking to pastors right now, pastors who are experiencing the very real temptation of quitting ministry because the leadership challenges and navigating just church life right now is so difficult with the potential division and all these things. And they'd rather just go back, to turn back to what they were doing before they came into ministry. I hope you're nice and warm in the auditorium. I really do. The people out here on the lawn are laughing. They're sheltering under ponchos and umbrellas. But come on, the Spirit of God's out here. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm getting some amens. I'm getting some amens. And I'm just lightening it up a little. But you know, there's people as well. There's Christians. There's people in all walks of life that are just experiencing a lack of kindness, a lack of love, as they try and navigate conversations and the divisiveness that's going on right now, and just the pressure of just everything that that COVID is bringing. And it's not easy. Let's not pretend it's easy. And there are people that are just really considering walking away from God, going back to their old way of living when they were accepted in community. And there's no judgment with a whole bunch of stuff that's going on in life right now. But going back to what you used to do, turning back isn't going to take you forward into what God has for you. You know, as Paul writes to the Galatians, there's two things that stand out that I believe he's trying to impress upon them that are still so relevant to us today, 2,000 years later. Two things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to be reminded of. Two things that the Holy Spirit wants you to know if you're hanging in the balance, if you're considering, should I turn back? And the first thing is this. True freedom is found only in Jesus Christ. Anything else leads to slavery. Did you catch that? True freedom is found only in Christ. Anything else leads to slavery. As Paul's writing to the church in Galatia in this letter, he's trying to remind them of what it was like being a law keeper. I'm getting wetter here with this thing. Ah, that's why there's no roof there. Can someone fix this hole in the roof, please? Oh, this is fun. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Keep going forward, Sam, so we can move forward and get home. I'm sorry. It's comical. He's trying to remind them of what it was like keeping the law and how they were slavers. And what they were like, it was like being a slave to the practices, to trying to please their gods as they worshipped idols and these ritualistic practices and keeping the law, that they were slaves to these things. And Paul's trying to remind them of that. And as these Judaizers have shown up, preaching that they've got to be obedient to the law, preaching that that is what they need to keep in order to be made right with God, you've got to earn salvation. You know, it was perfectly natural for them to be tempted to go back to that because this was habitual for them. This style of worship, it was cultural for them. It was what they knew. They'd grown up with it. They'd been educated with it their whole life. So to go back to keeping the law, rituals, practices, sacrifices, it was completely natural for them to want to do that. You know, we go back to the Old Testament. Even though they were looking at going back to essentially what Paul describes as slavery, that's what they wanted to go back to. You know, we go back to the Old Testament, we look at the people of Israel, and they were in Egypt. They were captives in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. God set them free through Moses, and God miraculously sent these 10 plagues that affected the Egyptians, but not the Israelites, and they get freed from Egypt. And they're going out of Egypt, and all of a sudden the Egyptians start chasing them again, and they see God do great things. They come to the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea. The Israelites walk through it, but it swallows up the Egyptian army that are pursuing them. They're in the wilderness, and they're on a journey towards the promised land, the land that God has in store for them. And they get to the edge of the promised land. God's guided them. He's provided for them. It's been amazing. They get to the edge of the promised land, and they send in 12 spies to go and see the lay of the land, what's going on in the land. And these spies come back, and they give a report. And 10 bring back a negative report. You see, the people in the land were giants. And they come back and they say, there's no way we can take the land. We're like grasshoppers in the land there. In their eyes, we're like grasshoppers. 2 bring back a favorable report. But see, the people hear the reports and they're listening to the 10, not the faith of the 2. And they start to say to each other, we should go back to Egypt. They want to go back to slavery in Egypt. And they start to say, hey, we should appoint another leader. Moses, he's a waste of time. Let's appoint another leader and go back to Egypt. Why? Because they want to go back to what is natural. They want to go back to what's comfortable, what's familiar, what's memorable for them. They want to go back to slavery. For the Israelites, it was going back to Egypt. For the Galatians, it was going back to the law and that style of worship. What is it for you that is natural, comfortable, easy to turn back to? When life gets hard, when faith in Jesus and walking with God gets a little bit hard, what is it that you're tempted to turn back to? What's natural for you? What's your go-to when you turn back? I wonder if it's something like materialism. You know, the world promotes materialism. You know, and hey, have more. The more that you have, the freer you'll be. And so you pursue the idol of materialism. Maybe it's money. And so you pursue money and this bank balance. And you know, because money promises that the more money you have, then you can have whatever you like and you can do whatever you want and you'll be free. Maybe it's pleasure. I don't know what your pleasure might be, but that sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle. You guys are really committed out here right now. Sex, drugs, rock and roll lifestyle. Whatever it is your pleasure. And that offers you a certain kind of freedom. Or maybe it's sport and pursuing achievement. Or maybe it's power through position. But you know what? Anything other than Jesus leads to slavery. You pursue materialism, you become a slave to the things you own. You don't own them, they begin to own you and they dominate you. You pursue money, money becomes your slave. And you're just worried about that bank balance. And you're dying inside at what your bank balance is. You pursue pleasure, and what started out as a good time is now an addiction, and you're a slave to it. What started out and maybe had a perceived level of freedom only ends up in you being a slave to it. Freedom is only found in Jesus Christ, amen? And that is what Paul is trying to tell the Galatians. You turn back to the law, you turn back to what's natural, what's comfortable, you're going to end up a slave again. Jesus came to set you free. You've experienced the freedom of Christ. Live in that freedom. And that's why Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 1, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Christ has set you free. Stand firm in freedom. Don't turn back to being a slave again. Don't turn back to materialism. Don't turn back to that thing that's comfortable. Don't turn back to pleasure. Don't become an addiction to whatever. Don't go back to an addiction, whatever was a part of your past. You're a slave to that. You've been set free in Christ. Be free. Stand in freedom. Don't become a slave again. And that's why Paul writes in verse 12, "I plead with you," he says. God, that's strong language. Can you get the heart of Paul that he's writing? I plead with you. I plead with you. Live in freedom as I do from these things. Free from those laws. That's a good bit of water. Friend, if you're hanging in the balance, you're considering turning back, I plead with you just like Paul pleaded with the Galatians. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. You turn back, you're only going to end up being a slave again. Freedom is found in Christ. You can know freedom from your past, whatever it is that's in your past. You can know freedom from guilt and shame. You can know freedom from expectations of people, freedom from pleasing people, freedom from addiction, freedom from comparison, freedom from whatever it is that held you back. Christ offers freedom. Turn to Jesus and live in the freedom that he secured on the cross for you. Paul's trying to remind the Galatians of that, and Paul would want you to know that today as well. Live in freedom. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this, is that we're human beings created to be in a relationship with God, not human doings tasked with earning God's approval. That's what the law is all about. That's what the Galatians are looking at turning back to. They're looking at turning back to the law. Why? To earn God's approval. You know, the law is all about checking boxes to try and be made right with God. It's religion, legalism, religion. And that's why Paul writes back, you're trying to earn, in verse 10, Paul writes, you're trying to earn God's favor. You're trying to do it by checking off a bunch of boxes, by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. They're slipping back into religion, whereas God wants relationship. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, "You have been saved by grace through faith." It is by grace you've been saved through faith. not by yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works. And at the end of the day, religion is all about works, working to earn God's approval. There's a huge difference between religion and relationship. Religious people just want to know, tell me what I have to do. Being a human doing. Tell me what I have to do to be made right with God. And so we can, and even we as Christians, we can fall into the trap of reading my Bible, praying, going to church, tick, tick, tick. Yes, I'm pleasing God. Yes, I'm living the way that He wants me to. And then we, you know, we've got to tithe and we've got to serve and we've got to do these things. We've got to sit in the rain to please God. It's not pleasing to God sitting in the auditorium where it's warm and cozy, all right? But He loves you. Huge difference between religion and relationship. Religion's all like, tell me what I have to do to please God. See, relationship, it starts here. It starts in the heart. God wants your heart. He wants you to know Him. That's why Paul writes, now that you know God and are known by God, it's a two-way relationship. It's not one way. God wants a two-way relationship. He wants to know you and He wants you to know Him. And we do that through relationship, not through religion. And when we have a relationship, God, a relationship with God, we don't have to do things. We get to do things. We want to do things. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to spend time with God because I get to know Him more. Because I get to experience His love. I get to experience His Spirit afresh in my life. I get to do those things. I get to sit in the rain. I get to preach in the rain. I get to serve Him. I get to tithe. And it's an honor and a privilege because it comes out of relationship, not out of duty. I've got two sons, Malachi and Cooper, and my daughter, Myla. But my boys are old enough to contribute around the house. And so we've got a list of things that they kind of do, and they know that their responsibilities are unpacking and packing the dishwasher, setting and clearing the table in the evening, before they go to school in the morning, you know, opening their blinds and their window, making sure there's nothing on the floor in their room, beds made, just trying to teach them some responsibility. But you know, as a dad, if all they did was get up in the morning and start checking those boxes, clear the floor, empty the dishwasher, make sure my blinds are open, check, 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 check. But they didn't want to come give me a hug in the morning. They didn't want to say good morning. They didn't want to know me as their dad. They were just interested in checking off the boxes and sitting on their iPads and screens watching the TV. And that's not going to really interest me much. It's not going to make me pleased as a dad, is it? I don't want that kind of relationship with my kids when they just have to live out of duty. And they do all those things to try and get my attention or to get my approval. But when I have a relationship with my kids and my kids love being with me, they get up in the morning, they come give me a hug. Morning, Dad. And we have a cuddle and we enjoy playing games together. We enjoy spending time together with our kids. Then out of that, they already know they've got my love. Out of that, they know they've got my approval, and therefore, they do those things, not to earn my approval, but they do it just because it's part of being part of the Taylor household. They get to do those things. They get to contribute to the Taylor household, but it's not out of duty. It's not trying to earn approval. Huge difference between relationship and religion. I want relationship with my kids. God wants relationship with us. God wants relationship with us. We're human beings created to be in relationship, not human doings tasked with earning God's approval. And that's why just a little bit earlier, Paul writes to the Galatians in verse 5 and 6, and he says this to them, God sent Him, talking about Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves. We're not slaves anymore, we're now free, so that He could adopt us as His own children. This is language of relationship. We're part of the family of God. We're sons. We're daughters of the Most High God. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son, the Holy Spirit, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. You know, this term, Abba, Father, it's one of endearment, one of affection, one of intimacy, like between a father and a child. I was sitting on the couch just the other morning, spending some time with God. My daughter comes in the room 6:30. She doesn't do this often, but she did it the other morning. She goes, Daddy, smile on her face, just ran, jumped on the couch and just snuggled into me. That is a beautiful thing. And that's kind of that intimate picture that Paul's trying to describe here, where the Spirit of God cries out in us, that relational aspect of Abba, Father. That this relationship we get to have with God, one of tender affection. And I know, you know, calling God Daddy doesn't thrill us much, maybe if you're a male, but however you relate to your dad in a loving, caring, you know, manner, That affection with your dad, that's how we get to relate to God. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want religion. He doesn't want duty from you. He wants relationship. And Paul's trying to say, why on earth? Why on earth would you go back to being a slave? Why on earth would you go back to that way of living when you get to be a son of God, when you get to be a daughter of God, when you get to call him Abba Father and you get to live in relationship with him and know the blessing of freedom from being in relationship and the blessing of just walking with God? Why would you go back to being a slave when you get to go forward in relationship with God? And Paul wants you to know that today too. When you're hanging in the balance, thinking about going back, that you're going back, whatever it is you're going back to, you're going back to slavery. And you're walking away from relationship with God. Don't turn back. It's not going to end well going back. It's going to end up in more pain. It's going to end up more chaos. It might seem comfortable. It might seem easy. It might seem familiar. It might promise a level of freedom, but it won't deliver on the freedom front. Don't turn back. And I sense that the Holy Spirit's ministering to people right now that maybe you've been turning back in certain times of your life. You've turning back in certain ways in your life. And maybe you've got a foot in both camps right now and God wants you all in relationship. He doesn't want you listening to this message today. He doesn't want you sitting in church today just checking a box, trying to say, yeah, I'm trying to please God by being here. No, we please God. God's already proud of you. He already loves you. You've already got his approval. He just wants your whole heart. Don't turn back. The writer in Hebrews says, we don't shrink back. But we hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. That hope is Jesus. Jesus has already done everything required for you to be loved by God on the cross. You don't need to do anything more. We just get to live in the freedom and in the relationship with God through the grace of Jesus Christ that he offers to us by the work that he did on the cross. And it's raining, so I'm going to wrap right now. But if that's you, I want to pray for you. If you're hanging in the balance, you're hanging in that zone of don't go back. If you're hanging in the zone of thinking of going back, I want to pray for you right now. Why don't we stand to our feet? I know we're in umbrellas and we're under coats out here and in the auditorium. You can stand to your feet. But if that's you, why don't you just stretch out your hands before God this morning and say, God, that's me. I'm hanging in the balance. I don't want to go back. I need your help. I need your strength. I want to go forwards into everything that you have for me. I'd love to pray for you right now. Father, as we stand in your presence, we believe your Holy Spirit is ministering to people right now. You're touching hearts, you're touching lives. And Lord, just as Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, warning them about the dangers of turning back, Lord, we take heed of that warning this morning as well. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have secured in Jesus Christ, that he secured for us on the cross. We thank you for freedom, and we thank you for relationship and for your love for us, that when Jesus was on the cross, Lord, that he had us in mind. And Lord, for anyone right now whose life is hanging in the balance, whose relationship with you is hanging in the balance, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that Holy Spirit, you touch them right now. They would get a fresh revelation of your love for them. They get a fresh revelation of what you did on the cross for them, Jesus. The Lord, they'd be able to go forwards in strength. They'll be able to persevere in their relationship, walking forward into everything that you have for them, not shrinking back and going back to an old way of living, no matter how tempting it might be. Lord, help us as your people live well for you, represent you, love well, show kindness, be with the people that you've called us to be, that we would go forward into everything that you have for us, that Lord, you have a hope, you have a future for every person, Lord God, in you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you for what you have done in our lives for time gone, but Lord, what you have yet to do as well. We're so grateful and we praise you this morning, and everybody said, amen.